Oh, you're the keepers of wisdom. This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the daily podcast where we read the entire Bible in a year. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Thanksgiving Day here in the U.S., so I'm guessing most of the U.S.-based LifeSpring family will not be hearing this today. Maybe they'll catch up tomorrow. I know I'll be far too involved with family activities today to listen to any podcasts, but for those of you that don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I'm here for you. And by the way, today is Turtle Adoption Day. Celebrate responsibly. Hey, I can't help it. I'm a dad and a grandpa. Anyway, it's also Poetry Thursday here on the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind Show, and our reading is Job 11 and 12, after which I'll have some comments for you, then we'll do our On This Date in Church History segment, and then I'm out of here. Let's get started. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our time together. I thank you, Lord, for those that are here, and I pray, Lord, that you would bless the reading of your word today and that you would teach us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Job chapter 11. Then Zophar from Naamah replied to Job, "Shouldn't someone answer this flood of words? Should a good public speaker be acquitted? Should your empty talk silence others so that you can make fun of us without any shame? You say, 'My teaching is morally correct,' and, as you can see, I'm innocent. I only wish God would speak and open his mouth to talk to you. He would tell you the secrets of wisdom, because true wisdom is twice as great as your wisdom, and you would know that God forgets your sin. Can you discover God's hidden secrets, or are you able to find the Almighty's limits? God's wisdom is higher than heaven. What can you do? It is deeper than the depths of hell. What can you know? It is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. If God comes along and imprisons someone and then calls a court into session, who can stop him? He knows who the scoundrels are. And when he sees sin, doesn't he pay attention to it? But an empty-headed person will gain understanding when a wild donkey is born tame. If you want to set your heart right, then pray to him. If you're holding on to sin, put it far away and don't let injustice live in your tent. Then you will be able to show your face without being ashamed, and you will be secure and unafraid. Then you will forget your misery and remember it like water that has flowed downstream. Then your life will be brighter than the noonday sun. The darkness in your life will become like morning. You will feel confident because there's hope, and you will look around and rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to frighten you, and many people will try to gain your favor. But the wicked will lose their eyesight. Their escape route will be closed. Their only hope is to take their last breath." Job chapter 12. Then Job replied to his friends, "You certainly are wise people, and when you die, wisdom will die. Like you, I have a mind. I'm not inferior to you. But who doesn't know these things? I am a laughingstock to my neighbors. I am one who calls on God and expects an answer. A man of integrity, a man who is righteous, has become a laughingstock. A person who has an easy life has no appreciation for misfortune. He thinks it is the fate of those who slip up. But robbers' tents are prosperous, and there is security to those who provoke God, for those whose God is their power. Instead, ask the animals, and they will teach you. Ask the birds, and they will tell you. Or speak with the earth, and it will teach you. Even the fish will relate the story to you. What creature doesn't know that the Lord's hands made it? The life of every living creature and the spirit in every human body are in his hands. Doesn't the ear distinguish sounds, and the tongue taste food? Wisdom is with the Ancient One. The one who has had many days has insight. God has wisdom and strength. Advice and insight are his. When he tears something down, it cannot be rebuilt. When he puts someone in prison, that person cannot be freed. When he holds back the waters, there is drought. When he releases them, they flood the earth. God has power and priceless wisdom. He owns both the deceiver and the person who is deceived. He leads counselors away barefoot and makes fools out of judges. He loosens kings' belts and strips them of their pants. He leads priests away barefoot and misleads those who serve in a temple. He makes trusted advisors unable to speak and takes away the good judgment of respected leaders. He pours contempt on influential people and unbuckles the belt of the mighty. He uncovers mysteries hidden in the darkness and brings gloom into the light. He makes nations important and then destroys them. He makes nations large and leads them away. He takes away the common sense of a country's leaders and makes them stumble about in a pathless wilderness. They grope in the dark with no light, and he makes them stumble like drunks. Well, in chapter 11, Zophar has had enough of what he considers to be just a rash of wordy nonsense. In essence, he accuses Job of running off at the mouth. He asks, "Just because you like to hear yourself talk, are we supposed to shut up?" Well, gosh, Zophar.
Thank you for being a friend.
I don't think Zophar should expect this reaction from Job. How about you? Zophar accuses Job of saying things he didn't say, like, "My teaching is morally correct, and as you can see, I'm innocent." But neither one of those was true. Job didn't say those things. What he did say was, "I am not wicked," but he also said, "I have sinned." I don't know, I think that maybe Zophar misunderstood Job, in part because of Job's somewhat and understandably emotional charge that God was cruel in his treatment of him. What about you? Do you think he misunderstood Job, or is he just being judgmental? From verse 7 on, Zophar's words are pretty much accurate. God is beyond understanding. God can do as he pleases. And if you confess your sin, you will be forgiven, and you will find peace. And then, as chapter 12 opens, Job responds to Zophar with sarcasm. "Oh, you're the keepers of wisdom. When you die, wisdom will die." At this point, I could just imagine the emotions that Job must be feeling. Physically, he's a wreck. Emotionally, he's mourning the loss of his children, most importantly, and probably to a far lesser extent, his wealth. Spiritually, I think he's confused. He can't understand why God would bring such calamities on him. And now, on top of all this, he's resentful, to say the least. Personally, I've got to hand it to Job. At least he continued to engage with them. He could have just shut them out, told them to take a hike. But he's better than that. Evidently, the friendship that he's had with these guys until now is worth trying to save, despite their insensitivity here. So, he continues the conversation. Well, in the rest of the chapter, he tells them that he's not inferior to them, and he reminds them where wisdom actually comes from God. From verses 13 on to the end of the chapter, Job demonstrates that Zophar's accusation that he's empty-headed is false. He talks at length about the power of God and his ability to give or take according to his own will. Of course, Job is accurate, but certainly I think his description of God seems dark and reflects his current condition. What do you think? How would you react to Zophar? Would you still trust God? Well, listen, we still have a long way to go before we're finished with this book. There are 42 chapters. Trust me, you'll want to hang around for the closing chapters. They're awesome, and I mean that in the true definition of awesome. I'd love to hear what you think. Agree? Disagree? Thoughts? Questions? Go to comment.lifespringmedia.com and comment there, or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, or comment on the show notes page for this episode. I want to hear from you. Our reading tomorrow is Isaiah chapters 29 through 33.
Before I get to On This Date in Church History, remember, I'm now doing a brand new show called Verses We Missed. I publish each new episode at 10 p.m. Pacific on Tuesdays. Check it out at versuswemissed.com. On this date in church history, November 27th. Today we're looking at three moments that show how God uses mission, media, and shared worship to reach people across generations. We begin in 1826 when several major Protestant groups came together in New York to form the American Home Missionary Society. Their vision was simple. As the United States pushed westward, churches needed pastors, communities needed the gospel, and new believers needed discipleship. The society helped plant thousands of congregations across the Midwest and Western frontier, shaping the spiritual landscape of a growing nation. It was a reminder that mission starts with seeing the need right in front of you and stepping into it with faith. Next, we move to 1910, the birth of Ernest C. Wilson, one of the early pioneers of Christian radio. Wilson believed radio could carry the gospel into homes, hospitals, farms, and places where pastors might never be able to go. He produced programs that blended scripture teaching, prayer, and music, helping open doors for Christian broadcasting long before it became common. His work helped prepare the way for ministries like Moody Radio, HCJB, and Trans World Radio. God used static-filled airwaves to plant seeds of faith in unexpected places. And finally, we go to 1932, when the first nationwide Christian Thanksgiving broadcast went out over American networks. Churches across denominations came together to offer scripture readings, hymns, and prayers for the country. During the hardships of the Great Depression, that broadcast became a moment of shared hope. It reminded listeners that gratitude is more than a feeling. It's a way of grounding ourselves in the faithfulness of God, no matter the circumstances. So, mission reminds us to go, media reminds us to speak, and shared worship reminds us to give thanks in every season. So, where is God giving you an opportunity today to serve, to speak, or simply to be grateful, whether you're in the United States or not? There are so many reasons to be thankful. And that reminds me, back on the Verses We Missed episode, on that show I talked about giving thanks and being grateful, and that applies whether or not you're in the United States. So go check it out at versuswemissed.com. Well, because it is Thanksgiving here, I'm going to call that a show. I've got a lot of people waiting for my brined smoked turkey. Yum. So until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thanks so much for being here. My name is Steve Webb. Have a great day. Bye.
The LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind is a LifeSpring Media production hosted by Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster since 2004.